Okay, we're live.
Good morning. Today is February 17, 2022. It's approximately 9:30 in a.m. This is the matter of application Z0444-21-C. It's an application by the Parks for event hosting Campbell Lane Winery. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This hearing is being recorded by the county. That recording is available through the county. I have a couple of things to go over. First, I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or a matter which is present, or a fact or issue present in this matter. I've considered issues of bias and conflict of interest, and I've determined I don't have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. As far as preliminary matters, I've received a number of documents from the county and also from the applicant, and I've had an opportunity to review those, so I came prepared for the hearing. The statement that I want to make first is that this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in the hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. Now, also, I have another statement about the record. I did receive a request in advance of this hearing from the applicant to keep the record open following this the conclusion of this hearing. And so any party or member of the audience or member of the public who wants an opportunity to provide additional evidence, written arguments or testimony may submit those to Mr. Glasgow. He'll provide an explanation for how to do that within 1 week of the close of the hearing. And the applicant and the county may have an additional week to review and respond to that. So to be clear about this, evidence that is asserting like new evidence or factual evidence or something of that nature should be submitted within that 1 week. County staff, applicant, and their representative will have an opportunity to review and respond to that in that second week. So I'm looking for legal arguments. I'm looking for rebuttals of evidence submitted, things of that nature. Then the applicant would have a final 7-day period to have the last word in this. So I'm, again, not looking for additional evidence in that final 2 weeks. I'm looking for a legal response. Okay. Any questions about that before I turn it over to Mr. Glasgow? All right. I'd like to provide the county with an opportunity to provide an explanation for participation in this hearing via the Zoom platform.
Right. Okay. I'm Clay from planning. I've got some required reading, required listening for you. It'll only take me a couple of minutes, but this is to explain this process. So here I go. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, Both have audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. That's Darcy. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded. The county will make every effort to post the hearing on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you'd like to provide testimony, please utilize the raise hand feature or let us know somehow. It's a small group, but this should be doable. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin so we can get you a copy of the decision. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing, which the hearings officer has already explained it will, and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you can either email it to me or send it by a regular post, and I'm going to put up that information at the end of the hearing just so you'll have it. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but still like to see the decision, please provide your email or standard mailing address to me, and we will be happy to provide that. That's it for the Zoom script. Now, just one other aside, there was substantial additional testimony submitted late yesterday. I did get it uploaded, but not until about 11 o'clock last night, and I was also trying to watch the Olympics, so I'm going to check on that to make sure I got everything up there. But point being, most people, probably the hearings officer included, have not seen this new information. This came in from the applicant. There's also other testimony that has come in the last couple of days, which folks may not have seen. It's all uploaded as of about 11 o'clock last night. So thank you for offering or insisting that the record be kept open for that purpose. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the hearings officer.
Okay, thank you. And again, the record will remain open. So anyone who is listening in this morning, members of the general public, I'm looking for you to submit your written comments within 7 days. That may include new information, new factual assertions, evidence that you want considered in this matter. Then the county and the applicant will have the second 7 day period to review, respond, rebut that, and the applicant that final 7 days to have the last word here. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay. The order of proceedings will be that I'll ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting the county's staff report, essentially information that the county wants me to consider in this matter. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to present what the applicant wants me to consider. I'll provide an opportunity for members of the public to also provide input into this hearing. Testimony, evidence that's submitted can be referenced as well. Then I will provide an opportunity for rebuttal by either or both the county and applicant. Okay.
Let's begin. Okay, well, I think everybody knows why we're here this morning. That being the case, I'm going to be brief in my presentation, but I do need to make a presentation just to complete the record. Also, this is a relatively small group this morning. I think we can keep this, you know, to some extent informal as long as we're staying within process. But here I go. Let's see if I can figure out this Zoom thing again. All right, so what I've done is I've distilled the staff report down into a few PowerPoint slides, and if there's any questions from anybody, please ask when it's your turn to speak, okay? All right, so here's our file number, Z0444-21-C. Today's hearing date, and those are just notes to myself. Those were previously scheduled hearing dates. Originally, this was set for November 18th. Was set over to the 6th, and by request of applicants, set over one more time to the 17th, and here we are today. So the proposal, and again, I hope everybody knows what we're here to talk about. Proposal is to host outdoor events of a variety of types. The applicant has proposed up to 170 events per year with a maximum number of guests of 125, up to 150 during some summer events. I think we need to talk about this throughout the hearing just to narrow this down a little bit, because frankly, I'm a little confused as to the number of events and people. property up Pete's Mountain, Campbell Lane. It's between Pete's Mountain Road and Southwest Mountain Road. The property itself is in a is in farm use as a vineyard. It's approximately 5 acres in size, which is contained within a larger property in the same ownership. This particular property, which is a separate legal lot of record, is angular in shape and relatively level. This area of the county, it's Pete's Mountain, it's mixed use. You got a lot of rural residential mixed in with some larger resource properties, both in farm and forest type activities. You got the Oregon Golf Club just over to the right, which would be east in this case. You got not Solly, Sandily up to the southwest. Zone designation is Ag Forest, AGF, Agricultural Forest. This is probably useless at this scale, but here's our property. I'm going to put up one more thing. Hang on just a second. Okay, can everybody see this aerial photo I'm pointing at right now? Hopefully. This is the subject parcel itself. This is the larger property which surrounds it, which itself is part of a larger property in mixed ownership, but in vineyard use.
I see a map. And what I see is a map with colored in area, not a aerial photograph.
Yeah, I think there's some limitations to Zoom switching back and forth. How about now?
I see an aerial photograph.
Okay, so this is just for context. This is the actual parcel. The larger ownership, however, includes this surrounding area, and you can see the vineyard. So here's a parcel in question. Here's a larger ownership in the same ownership, which itself is part of a larger property in vineyard. Let me back this out a little bit just to show where we are. This is the Big River. You probably figured that out. This is the Oregon Golf Club. Sandily's down here off Advance Road. This is Pete's Mountain. That's just what it's called. And let's get moving here. All right, so looking on this. Oh, this is tedious. All right. So this is a tax map. This is a subject property right here, tax lot 1601. It's about 5 acres, give or take. This is a site plan submitted originally by the applicant. Hopefully, this will be a discussion item too, because there's some things on here that I'm not quite sure of. And this has been dragging on so long, to be honest, I've lost my train of thought. Oh, these are notes for me. Just for the group, this originally was submitted, the application itself, September 27th, and that was subsequent to a different type of application being submitted several months previous. Turned out that application type is not available, so the applicant applied for this hosting events on September 27th. 150-day clock is over on March 30th, except we got a 30-day tolling of that to April 3rd. So at this point, we have till April 3rd to complete processing of this application. The 215-day state max or statutory maximum goes out to May 9th, but this is just for the hearings officer, and I'll provide that to him in written form. So a conditional use, as far as Clackamas County zoning goes, the zoning code, conditional uses are controlled through section 1203. That's kind of the umbrella section of the ordinance, and it gets you to all the other applicable code sections, which in this case include the underlying zone, which I mentioned is a mixed farm forest zone. It's called Ag Forest. Gets you to section 806, which deals specifically with this application type, hosting events. Gets you to a variety of other site design standards, and then signs, parking, recycling, that kind of stuff. So under section 1203, there's six criteria that must be met in order for the county to approve a conditional use. The first criterion is the applicant needs to show, county needs to find that the use as proposed is in fact listed as a potential conditional use in the underlying zone. This is Ag Forest. The Ag Forest zone does in fact list hosting events as a potential conditional use. So right out of the gate, we're one for one with the criteria. Second criterion, you've got to show that the site itself, isolated in space and time, separate from anything else around it, just the site itself can support this use based on size, shape, existence of natural features, transportation, availability, that kind of thing. I was able to make positive findings here. Third criterion, this deals with the transportation element of our zoning ordinance, both concurrency and safety. Concurrency being, can the road network deal with this additional potential traffic? This particular type of use is exempt from that, from concurrency. It is not exempt from safety, however. I checked with our development engineering staff upstairs, our transportation people. They submitted comments. That's included in the staff report, which hopefully everyone has had a chance to look at since it's been out for months. The fourth criterion, this is one we're going to discuss today, and this is where it needs to be shown by the applicant that the proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of surrounding properties for the primary uses allowed in the zoning district in which surrounding properties are located. And this is further modified through Section 806 to include residential use, even though residential use is not an allowed outright use. So basically, the applicant has to show that this proposal will not have such deleterious impacts on the area that it will negatively impact uses that are allowed along with residential uses. And this is a discussion item for today, and the staff report goes into detail on that. I was unable to find in favor of this criterion based in large part from the fact that this use has been going on for some time. This is not a proposed use. This is an actual use that's been happening. And the impacts have already been, made themselves known. The fifth criteria. This needs to meet the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan, which apply to proposed use. The applicant addressed this briefly. Staff also briefly addressed this. Staff report I was able to find in favor of this fifth criterion. Final criterion needs to be shown that this proposal meets any restrictions of the zone itself and overlay zoning districts, which in this case includes Section 806. Staff report goes into detail on that. I don't see any reason to read through the staff report. With that, it was a really brief presentation, but we can talk in more detail about any of this throughout the process. I'm going to put this slide up at the end, but this is where, if you want to, because this record is going to be left open at the end of the hearing today. Excuse me, the hearing will be closed. The record will be left open. If you want to submit new stuff during that first week, you're going to send it to one of these locations. The second open record period will deal with rebuttal of the new information that came in for the first period. You're going to send it here again. The third open record period is reserved for the applicant's final legal argument. Now I think I'm done. So any questions at this point?
I don't have any questions, but I do want to have a brief conversation with Ms. Albrecht about the open record period. Okay, I'm you're muted. Okay, so in your request, you had indicated that the applicant would waive the timeline on this. Let's talk about the timeline. I didn't know exactly when the closing date for this was for the 150 days. March 30th might be kind of tough on this. So I think it's appropriate, to respond to your offer to waive that timeline. Let's talk about what could be necessary here. Yeah.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks you. I took a look at that. I mean, we are happy to waive to a date certain to give you sufficient time for writing your decision and issuing that. So, I mean, I was kind of looking at, the 21-day 777 would end March 10th. So looking at, 21 days out or 30 days out, depending on what you needed for time.
I think I have every intention of meeting my timeline, which is 20 days following the close of the record. My concern is if there are any additional if there's any additional extension to this, I mean, I'm already right up against that date. So I'm proposing an additional 30 days.
Okay, that's agreeable to the applicant. I don't see any reason for any further extension.
Okay.
So what is that date?
So 30 days from March 30th. Wait, did I write that correctly? I mean, I was moving pretty fast there. What was the, what's the current date?
I had the dates of, so the 7 days from today is February 24th. 7 days from that is March 3rd. And then final legal argument would be March 10th.
What's this?
And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And we have till April 3rd right now.
Ms. Albrecht, I was proposing 30 days from April 3rd.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. That's fine for the applicant.
Okay. So, May.
I don't have a calendar.
How many days are in April? Is it?
30.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. May 3rd. So May 3rd is the final date.
Okay. Thank you. We'll confirm that in writing. So it's on the record that we consented.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that conversation. I think at this time, let's proceed with the applicant's presentation.
Great. Thank you. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Elaine Albrecht. I am a land use and permitting attorney with Davis Wright Tremaine in Portland. Our mailing address is 1300 Southwest 5th Avenue, Suite 2400, Portland, at 97215. We appreciate the opportunity to present to you today. We have a presentation to walk through and then open for questions as we go or at the end. Before I go into my presentation, I wanted to just pass it over to Andy Parks, the applicant in this case, briefly before we start.
Yeah, thank you, Elaine. Tracy is unable to join us today. She's responding to a medical situation with her parents. Her and I both want to just wish a big thank you, to you, Carl, for granting us the continuances to allow us to fully review and address the issues and concerns that have been raised by staff as well as folks in the neighborhood. Elaine and Shishin will review our proposal, and we are certainly glad to address any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, of course.
Thanks. Elaine Albrecht again, back for the record. So today for applicant's presentation, we wanted to provide a little additional information and overview to supplement staff's report about the applicant's property. We then wanted to take some time to walk through applicant's proposal, including some modifications that applicant has proposed in response to public comments received and from staff's report. Then talk through some of the conditions of approval. And finally, conclude with the request for approval. I was going to deal with the request for the open record at that point in time also, but thank you, that's already dealt with. So we'll just continue. So looking at applicant's property, this is a snippet of what we had provided in our pre-hearing submittal as attachment to showing the aerial vicinity of the property. The exhibit in attachment two in our pre-hearing submittal is a little bit of a bigger overview, so you can really get a sense of more of the entire area. But here you've got parcel one and parcel two, which is applicant's property. And then you've got these, three smaller parcels that are kind of surrounded by applicant's property. And you can see that those are identified on attachment three in our pre-hearing submittal as being the McDonald's, the Deals, and then the Zenner property over here. So to put that in there for context, the Parks property is just is over 51 acres, and it's off Campbell Lane. I don't know if you can see my arrow when I'm sharing screen. So
yes,
you can. Okay, great. So this is Pete's Mountain Road, and Campbell Lane comes off of it here. And then this is actually the driveway, not Campbell Lane, but you can see then the access comes through parcel two and serves parcel one here and then also parcel two. So right now there's over 21 acres of planted vineyard that the Parks farm. 13 of those acres are down here adjacent to parcel two. This was described as parcel three in our pre-hearing submittal. And the Parks are looking to acquire this property and parcel four, which is further south from family. And the applicants do live on site. Uh, So applicant's proposal, this is a big picture. Applicants are seeking a conditional use permit for home occupation to host events in the AG and F zone. They are looking for approval to rebuild an existing barn on parcel one for the tasting room to host wine-related events and limited seasonal outdoor commercial events. I'll talk about the details of that in the following slides. The majority of the events are wine-related with the primary purpose to promote and sell Campbell Lane Winery wines produced from on-site grapes. So this is the details of the applicant's proposal. In our pre-hearing submittal, we broke down applicant's proposal in more detail to reflect more clearly what the applicant was seeking approval for. The record is a bit confusing on what is the actual scope of the proposal. So I wanted to be very clear in restating what the request is for the hearings officer's consideration. So I talk about this in considerable detail in section 1B of our pre-hearing submittal, and then provide this summary here of what we see the scope and intensity being of the different activities. So basically the proposal has kind of two components. The first component, which makes up the majority of the activities the applicant is seeking approval for, relate to the tasting room and the tasting events in the tasting room. Applicant proposes to distinguish the events by time of year, kind of identifying, you know, a low season and then a high season, with low season being October to late May, and then high season being or summer season being late May to September. So the proposal would have seasonal hours and operations. Those are detailed in the pre-hearing submittal in section 1B1. I can go through that in more detail if you would like. But for a summary, there would be two types of tasting events. There would be small tasting events, which would be indoors in the tasting room and sometimes outside on the patio, depending on the weather. This would be off season and summer season. These events would be limited to less than 50 people in size. And depending on the season, the times would also be limited in duration. So for example of that, during October through late May, the seasonal hours would be on Saturdays and Sundays. You know, kind of the operating time would be between noon and 5:30 and the occasional holiday. And these events would average two times per week. So that's less than the five times per week allowed by the ZDO. That's off-season small tasting event activities. During the summer season, late May through September, the tasting would have longer hours, and that they would be open on Wednesdays and then Thursday through Sunday, with varying hours depending on the day. There would be two types of events during the summer season. There would be the small tasting events with the less than 50 people, and then there would be the large tasting events which would be a maximum of 150 people. And so these would occur during
I'm confused. Just a moment here. Yeah. Your large tasting events, I mean, it indicates fewer than 125 people on your slide.
Yes. So less than 125 people or less, or we could say, I mean, it was trying to be a cap of 125.
Okay. I thought you said 150.
No.
Okay. My mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, just to clarify, how we've defined it is that the small tasting events would be up to 50 people, and then the large tasting events would be up to 125 people. And the large tasting events, you know, would utilize the tasting room, but also the outside lawn and patio areas. And the large tasting events are the summer season only. Then there would be these small non-wine events, averaging about four per year. These, again, would be up to 50 people in size, and these would be summer season only. We think of these as, you know, maybe more fundraiser focused, private party type events where the sale and promotion of Campbell Lane wine is not the primary focus. So in total, for this first component of applicants ask, there would be up to 134 small events and up to 24 large events for a total of 158 tasting room events per year. So when you're looking at that, you know, almost 80% of the total events that applicant is requesting are these small events of 50 people or less. And then it breaks down to, you know, the larger events would be about 14% of the activities. And in total, the tasting room events would be about 93% of the request. So this is the majority of the activities the applicant is looking to conduct on parcel one. And again, just to reiterate, this is outlined in bullet detail in section 1B1 of our pre-hearing submittal. The second component of applicants' request is for limited seasonal outdoor commercial events. Applicant is requesting an average of 12 events per year. These would be of similar size to the large tasting events with a maximum of 125 guests per event. These activities are different in that the sale of Campbell Lane wine is not the primary focus of the activities. Instead, the focus may be on food, fundraising, celebrations, outdoor music, farm to table dinners, and things like that. Again, these events would be limited just during the summer in June through September, and would only be on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. So in total, these comprise about 7% of the events that applicant is seeking approval for. So I wanted to spend some time on these two slides 5 and 6, given how the record has reflected what applicant's proposal is. This, as we have summarized it in our pre-hearing submittal in sections 1B, 1 and 2, is the scope of what applicant is requesting. That is different than how it has been summarized in the staff report. So we just wanted to make that clear for the record that applicant is proposing something different and less intense than what was summarized in the staff report. Switching to the physical development of what applicant is proposing as a part of this application, the request seeks approval to rebuild an existing 890 square foot barn on parcel one to accommodate the tasting room with a new restroom that would be supported by a new septic drain field and outside patios. The illustration to the right is a conceptual design of that rebuilt barn structure. Looks similar to kind of barn garage. The proposal also includes a request to construct a new 200 square foot accessory structure for storage and an additional restroom that would be connected to the tasting room's new septic system. So this to the right is the revised site plan, and I'm going to talk through this in more detail in a minute. But in addition, applicant is seeking approval to improve the existing driveway off Campbell Road to extend it to 20 foot width for about 200 feet to improve visibility and safety. This is a modification to applicant's proposal that was being proposed in response to public comments that we have received about concerns about the width of the existing driveway. Applicant is also proposing to improve the existing gravel access road from the driveway to the vineyard to serve as the access for the tasting room and overflow parking. So this is a new component of applicant's proposal that would reroute tasting room traffic around the backside and away from the Zener property that's right here. So rather than utilizing, you know, this is the existing circulation, the proposal is to then have tasting room traffic come straight back down along the parcel two and then come in this back way for parking. And here is parking spaces for guests. So it would come right through there. And then the tasting barn is right here. So I just wanted to emphasize those because those are new modifications in response to comments.
I'd like a little clarification. And if you don't have an answer, that's fine. But I'm looking at, I did have an opportunity to read through your new proposal or the changes made to the proposal. Mm-hmm. And I provided a little clarification about the location of the barn you're proposing to rebuild for a tasting room. And you said it's 100 feet from that property line. How far is it from this Zener's home?
I don't know offhand, but we can answer that in our some follow-up.
Okay. It appears to me that the Zener's home is approximately, you know, the same distance as the other neighbor. I've forgotten their name, and I'm sorry. It begins with a D.
The Deals, they're over
the
here.
The Deals, yes.
Yeah. Actually, so you can see the Zener's dwelling is over here.
Yes.
It's highlighted. I don't know that distance, so we could confirm that.
That's fine.
Okay. And then this was already in the proposal, but just the addressing the parking, the gravel parking for employees and guests, and then the grass overflow parking for guests. And so you can see this is the kind of the main parking next to the tasting barn here. And then you've got, these are really tiny, but you've got area A and B kind of right here. That's the employee parking near the Parks house. And then I can't see 4F. I think it's on the original, which I'll show in a minute. But then the overflow parking is
that employee parking is the parking you designated as a maximum of 5 spaces.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the 5 spaces. And then overflow parking would be over here. And as you see on this next slide, this overflow parking is actually, it's right here. And so this is all Parks property. So it kind of is a little bit unclear here. It looks like maybe it's not, but it is. So, you know, it's on parcel 2, and then there's this buffer this way and this way. So this is a little bit of a bigger shot of the revised site plan, just wanting to show it in relation to the neighboring properties and kind of how it works with, you know, the majority of the activities are on parcel 1 with then access and parking on portions of parcel 2. And so here, this is the tasting barn. This would be kind of the drain field in here. And then this is the proposed location for that accessory storage structure that would then have additional bathroom. And then these two would share this drain field.
I do want to talk to you about your proposed accessory structure. You are asking for a deletion of the associated condition of approval or related that would deny that accessory structure. Do you want to talk about that here or wait for?
Oh, I'll wait if we could talk about it a little bit later, but I will address that. And so this is the original site plan. You know, it shows a little more detail closer up, shows like where the lawn area is and where the existing paved driveways are for circulation. It shows a little bit better, you know, the concrete and gravel parking of area A and B. There's outdoor patio and seating area. here. This is the park's residents. And so to address some comments from staff, there have been activities taking place on the property during COVID. Those were hosted out of the residence. We've talked about them in our pre-hearing submittal. What is before the county and the hearings officer today, it is not those past activities, but what is contained in the scope of our current summary of what the proposed activities are. So I'll address that in a minute, but I wanted to illustrate where their residence is and then where this outdoor seating area is. So this was the area within which the original activities were taking place. And this is where they're proposed now, over in here, through here. So I want to take a minute to kind of walk through what's currently in the record for how the proposal complies with the ZDO. If you look at the staff report in Exhibit 6, staff finds that applicant's proposal meets or can meet all the applicable ZDO criteria except the 120303D. And that is based on staff's analysis of applicant's proposal as described in the staff report, which is more intense than what applicant is proposing. And then if you look at the Exhibit 5 in the which is the transportation engineering findings and conditions, again, transportation recommends that the proposal can meet or meets the applicable roads, connectivity, parking, and loading standards. So with that, we believe that with our additional information that we've provided with our pre-hearing submittal and the restated scope and intensity of the proposed activities, that the proposal can also meet ZDO 120303D, particularly considering the applicant's proposed minimization measures. So I wanted to talk about those next. I think I might have skipped ahead. Sorry about that. So applicants proposed minimization measures. These are measures that the applicant's team has worked together to propose in order to respond to staff's concerns in the staff report, as well as those concerns that we heard in the public comments. I think this is really important as it plays into the 120303D analysis. So the first is what I've talked about earlier is, this is different. So one of the concerns that was raised on the record was about widening the driveway. And this was a particular concern to the Deals and the McDonald's, and that they didn't want the driveway widened. And so the applicant has reached out to Tualatin Valley Fire to talk about how to avoid having to widen that access. And so we talk about that in our pre-hearing submittal and provided the communication chain, I think it's an exhibit or attachment 6, about how applicant can avoid triggering widening that driveway. And so that's part of the modified proposal would be to keep the tasting room the same square footage and footprint as the existing barn, so as to avoid that requirement. And so we captured that in the scope of our proposal with the 890 square feet. So the second is to address a concern that the Zeners raised about visibility and the driveway and the ability to pass cars if they're coming in, you know, two different directions. So the first part of the driveway is actually, I'm kind of going out of order, but I'm thinking about it from the entrance up. And so it would be extending the 20-foot width of the driveway for an additional 200 feet as you kind of come up this hill so that you would have room to pull over or maneuver in case there was an oncoming car. And that would help address them concerns about visibility and safety. The other proposed modification to minimize impacts is this rerouting the traffic off the main driveway and away from the entrance of the Zener property. And that's improving an existing gravel access road, as I showed, kind of along parcel two, to route traffic back and around to the parking area and the barn tasting room, and keeping that traffic then away from the Zener property. And that would then allow tasting room guests to just go in and out that route and not have to be over on the existing circulation that's closer to the Zener driveway. The applicant has also proposed to reduce the number of seasonal outdoor commercial events to about 10% of the requested events, and the large tasting events to about 14% of the requested events. Applicant is proposing a setback location for music of more than 100 feet from the Zener property line, and to direct the music to the south and the east towards applicant's woods. And then applicant has made a Google map correction that was submitted, and actually that was part of what we provided yesterday into the record, was just confirmation that the Google map correction had been made, so that now when someone pulls up Campbell Lane Winery, it won't route to the Zener property, but it'll properly route to the Parks property. Talked about that. So getting to the 120303D analysis. In our pre-hearing submittal, we provided additional legal analysis for how the proposal complies with this conditional use criterion. In doing so, we parsed the requirements of 120303 and then addressed each of those elements. We defined the surrounding area as a quarter mile from the center of parcel one, which was shown in exhibit four. Oh, sorry, it was in exhibit five. And then we inventoried the zoning and the uses of the property within that surrounding area. We identified the potential impacts from our proposed activities that could be of concern. And then we characterized the surrounding area. And then from there, we evaluated whether the potential impacts could alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that would rise to the level of substantially limit, impair, or preclude those uses that we inventoried within the surrounding area. And so based on that analysis, we maintain that the proposal meets 120303D, particularly considering the minimization measures that we've discussed to address those concerns that have been raised on the record. I did include some legal argument about the proper interpretation of the substantially limit, impair, and preclude, in that it is a higher standard than merely impact or negatively affect. It rises to something greater than that. And so that's included in the record for your consideration.
Yes, I agree that it's not, the test isn't that it impacts, the test substantially impairs. I would like to go back to your slide on minimization efforts and talk about, maybe it's the next slide after this.
I was going to talk about...
Go up one. Yep, nope. The music is what I want to talk about. Sound.
Yeah, that's bullet second from the bottom.
Okay. Is the applicant intending to use a PA system in connection with their events?
The applicant has described the music as... Hold on, I'm pulling this up. And maybe Andy, do you want to address this question while I find it in our submittal?
Sure. Yeah, it's a good question on the music. And you know, we have used and would plan to use solo artists as well as duets. They use a PA system in asking them both about a couple of those that have played at our place before, they have not ever recorded decibels before, because they indicate that, you know, they don't play their music loud. And I think it's in the record from Elaine Newland, who is on the neighborhood CPO, community planning organization, that lives a half mile or less away, that she hasn't heard the music from our place at all. So anyway, they do use a PA type of system, but again, the noise level from that has not been significant in at least in our judgment.
Yeah. And I thanks Andy. And I would add that, condition, it's in section 2 of the staff report, in section 2, Roman numeral 2, 17, recommends a condition of approval to regulate noise sounds to ensure, that the sounds don't exceed a certain limit. So that right. would be.
It references the noise ordinance, and I think it's 60 decibels or less. And then there's a difference for later hours. For home occupation uses, though, I believe that it kicks in earlier under the noise ordinance. I'll have to, I don't like to just wing it on those kind of ordinances. I wouldn't do that. But for a home occupation, I think it's no noise after a certain time, and it's like normal business hour times. It's like, so I think we should look at that. So it's different than a commercial business would be regulated under the noise ordinance. I think a home occupation, it's like 6 o'clock and no noise past the property line. And if that's the case, and I copy that condition of approval in, and it has to do with a home occupation, no noise after, I think it's 6 p.m. And I'm not trying to cite it, on the fly here.
Okay.
If that's the case, is there an objection to that? Just a minute. Clay Glasgow, did you have a comment? And then I want to get back to Ms.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Section 806, home occupation and host events, provides specific times and decibel readings for this type of use. And it's 10 p.m. on weekends when that kicks in. It goes until 10 p.m. Then the use simply must stop. But it's different than what you're talking about. Basically, home occupations. This you can have this level of noise, 60 decibels, up to 10 p.m. on weekends, 9 p.m. weekdays.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. I just misremembered it, Ms. Albrecht. Thank you for the time to get a little clarification from the county on that.
Sure. Thanks. And we can address that. I was just going to say we can address that in writing also and follow up to your question. Anything further on this side?
No. And to be clear about it, I just did approve a home occupation and it was 6 p.m., but it's not an event hosting occupation. I just suddenly had this thought.
Okay. Thanks, Clay, for the clarification. Get back to the slides. So I won't go into further detail on the subpart D analysis. I would just reference you to our pre-hearing submittal analysis. I do want to talk about the conditions of approval and get back to your question about the accessory structure. So the land use staff report in Exhibit 6 recommends conditions of approval. The applicant has reviewed those and agrees to accept all conditions. We would respectfully request to delete section 2, 4, and 18 that would prohibit the accessory structure next to the tasting room. We believe that the park's requested accessory structure with bathroom is distinguishable from that was the subject of the, I forget their last name, the HerCamp case. That was in the whole line of cases on rising out of Z05-40-19C. And so we would like to, part of our request to keep the record open is we'd like to provide some legal briefing on that and additional information about the nature of the accessory structure that we're proposing. So we appreciate the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And then just to highlight, the conditions of approval, in my opinion, really do a good job at addressing those concerns that were raised by the neighbors about neighbor impacts. I think, you know, with applicants' proposed minimization measures coupled with the proposed conditions, it really does provide a good mechanism for regulating the scope intensity of the use to ensure that, notwithstanding the proposed activities, that the use would still operate within the bounds of the ZDO. And so I enumerated some of those in particular that I think help address some of the concerns that the neighbors raised. And we also discussed those in our impact analysis under subpart D. And so with that, I would welcome any additional questions or save a little time for rebuttal and closing.
Can I make an observation here at this point? This is an application for a home occupation to host events. And frankly, it's a little different than most of that application type we've looked at. Those are for weddings and office parties and that kind of thing. And Andy Parks, jump in here if I get wrong on this. But when we first invited you in to the process, you'd applied for a relatively simple type 2 winery, whether that included a tasting room and that kind of thing, which is just allowed in the underlying ag forest zone. I wasn't involved in that application type, but as I understand it, it turned out we weren't going to be able to process that due to the proposal not meeting some dimensional standard in statute. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, it rings a bell as it relates to the location that we were desiring to use, which would be our existing residence or something similar to that. And the setback requirements were such that, you know, to do it on 5-acre site, we would have to put in a much larger operation than we wanted to burden the neighborhood with. We were trying to keep something that was minimal in terms of what we were trying to accomplish. We could, and we have plenty of land. We meet all the requirements for a type 2 winery type of operation. But to do that would require more investment, which require operations that are going on far more frequently than what we're proposing in this particular use. And, you know, so we went to the, you know, to this conditional use route to, and again, to be really more consistent with the neighborhood. I mean, we're part of that neighborhood, and, you know, we're impacted more than anybody in the neighborhood. So, you know, it makes sense for us to have something that, we can live with as well.
Okay. So I think I was just trying to point out that it is different than the other hosting events application we've looked at. Frankly, you want a winery with a tasting room, and which is allowed in the underlying zone through a relatively simple type 2 process. But we're unable to do it due to some oddly specific statutory language. It's really strange. There's an actual building setback in statute in there. I don't have the reference. It's in chapter 215 somewhere.
It's the 100-foot setback. There can be adjustments to it, but it's a 100-foot setback from property lines from public assembly areas within the winery statute. And I think, you know, this... There has been discussion, I understand, before I was involved about the nature of the application, what the park should apply for. There's different routes. There's the permitted use winery route. There's the conditional use winery route. There's commercial activities in conjunction with farm use for a CUP. There's the home occupation to host events, which I think is more commonly used in Clackamas County, whereas in Yamhill County, it's more common to use the commercial activities in conjunction with farm use for these types of approvals. So I think, you know, there's different pathways you can pick, but right now we're on this pathway. Right. And so we're trying to finish it and get it across the finish line in a way that, you know, works for everybody. So
that's fine. I was just trying to point out that this looks a little different than other hosting events applications, but it can be processed as such. But it could also have been processed in a different manner.
Understood.
Not for that weird setback.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to, at this time, if the county and the applicant are have finished their presentations, to provide an opportunity for the general public, and then we'll have a rebuttal period.
Can I ask one more question? Sorry, you can just keep going up. But with regards to the restroom building, and you referenced the actual local application, HERCAMP, where that came from, and that was an interpretation by the hearings officer at that time regarding what's a building typically in association with resource use. And that hearings officer determined that in an EFU zone, that particular restroom building on that particular property was not typically in association with farm use. I cited that in part because I wanted some discussion on it in this particular location, in this particular zone. So hopefully through Ms. Albrecht, you're going to provide some interesting discussion on that.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. That's exactly what we want to do. And we'll touch on the LUBA and the Court of Appeals case also and include that analysis. Thanks.
Perfect. Okay. Do we have a member of the public that would like to provide testimony or input or comments? When you're called upon, you know, you may raise your hand. I mean, if you want to be called upon, use the raise hand feature. Please state your name and your address. Mr. Glasgow, you're muted.
Okay, so this is your chance to talk, and I really hope you're able to show us. There's a little raise hand feature. Darcy, can you explain how that works, just so I know everybody's had a chance to raise their hand if they want?
It depends on how your device is set up, but there is a little raise hand icon either on the top of your screen or on the bottom of your screen.
Oh, I see.
And if you're on a cell phone, it's *9 to raise your hand. I have Mr. Zener, Ken Zener.
Zener.
Sorry.
I'm the neighbor next door at 27300 Southwest Campbell Lane. And I just
have
good
morning, Mr. Zener.
Good morning. I just have a few questions of clarity. Are we saying under the most recent proposal that the residence and the cottage hasn't been mentioned, but in particular, is the residence not going to be used for any of the events? Because the residence is extremely close to our property line, and that's where all the activity has been taking place in the last few years.
I think it's appropriate to have the applicant answer Mr. Zener's question just for time here.
Yes, are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, the residence itself, no. The areas that are landscaped and approved that are more than 100 feet from the Zener property line, yes.
So, Andy, can I ask you, can I direct my question?
Yes.
So, your backyard that is east of your house, which is right next to our property, are you saying that that section of your property will not have people back there? Because that's feet from our property line. So I'm saying east in the back, that part of the grass, Andy, that you guys fixed up, is that going to have attendees back there?
From a music standpoint, it wouldn't be directed that direction. The way that we're intending is to be moving things to the south.
So can I just ask general questions? I mean, I'm just nothing formal. I just some things.
We'll have a couple questions, but I think you should make your statements. And what I understood from Mr. Park's revised proposal here is that that area next to your property line, your common property line, is employee parking area for five vehicles. Is that correct, Mr. Parks?
Yes, up to five.
In area A and B right here.
Right, adjacent to the Parks dwelling, which is indicated in purple or lavender or something. But the accessory structure is actually the barn, which is where her pointer is, and then a grassy area adjacent to that right there in between.
And then this is the patio over here.
Yes, patio below the house.
Okay, so one thing you're not seeing on this map, if we could blow that map up again.
That's as big as I can.
The residence area. Maybe the residence area there.
That area.
Yeah. So if you go to the back of C, his residence, he has the neighbor.
I see a deck or something.
Right. So that is an easement where he goes over the property line of his, and they have a big grassy area where everyone is back in that area. So it looks like their property line, they don't go over, but it's my understanding, Andy, that Victor's easement, you use that for people in your backyard to mingle and whatever. Right. Is that correct?
If you could pull that back up. Oh, yeah, as I just indicated, Ken, all the activity that we're talking about would be 100 feet from your property
this
line.
This is the property line.
Right. I understand, Mr. Parks, you're pointing your neighbor to section E.
Well, E and K, and as Ken just mentioned, the area to the east where the residence wording is, that is a lawn area, and there is a new accessory building that's permitted that is going in now that provides additional screening and so forth. But the area to the east, there is a seating area out there that is in lawn that is 100 feet from the Zener property line. And yeah, we would anticipate that there would be some folks there, and there is additional screening that we're putting in place between that lawn area and the Zener property line. Yeah, I mean, we would have done this all again under the winery thing if we could have got the variance for the building C that's inside that 100-foot setback, but it's not. So we'll stay within the 100 feet for limited outdoor seating, and that's again the numbers we've submitted in terms of how often that is. All the restroom, all the other activity associated with that is moved, to the south, further away from the property line, with the exception again of the employee parking. One exception to that is the west lawn area that is in the forest. It's an area that we've used for outdoor dinners, and no music that occurs there. And these are events that last approximately 2 hours, field and vine type dinners that, no music in those situations.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Zener, did that answer your question?
I'll just end with when there's events such as weddings, the music isn't two guitar players singing it's music, it's screaming, there's a lot of loud people. I get it, it's a wedding, they're enjoying it, and 100 feet
clapping and cheering, and
100 feet doesn't do it. So I'm just telling you, up here everyone hears everything, and that's our concern, is we hear lights, we see lights, we have music, and we are concerned that it's moving more towards a wedding kind of event center, and it has a big impact. So I'll end at that.
But let me ask Mr. Zener, you also raised issues around the access, the driveway, people taking a wrong turn on your driveway. Are your concerns addressed by the revised proposal?
Well, that gravel
oppose it for those reasons as well.
That the proposal of using the gravel, I appreciate that, but that gravel road comes into our driveway as you're coming up the driveway. I'm going to guess, I'm not looking at it, I'm going to guess it comes in after you've driven probably 170 feet. So our turnoff to our driveway is not that far long after you take that gravel road. So it's just almost a Y in the section in the driveway. I mean, yes, it'll help, but there's still probably 170 feet of single lane traffic coming up there. I mean, you know, it's a lot of cars coming up and down that small driveway. And, you know, at different
I see that.
Yeah. I mean, you can see where it comes off. It's not that far off where we turn up our driveway.
Okay. And I hear another voice on your line. Is that,
that's my wife.
Heidi,
thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to put you down as providing testimony as well. Yes. Even if it's sort of affirming.
Okay.
Go ahead. You
can. Oh, okay. I'm concerned about the speed and the amount of cars and the public that are constantly going down the driveway. It was a very quiet area up here. They also park. That I don't think that he's regulating the people who are parking next to our fence. And so there are cars pulled right up to our fence in our backyard, which we are out there all the time, coming and going, you know, during these hours. And they are not employees. They are guests. And so that is very, very unnerving. So that's... And he hasn't changed that. And we have requested him to change that. And he still has not. So,
okay. Thank you.
That's it for us.
Is there another member of the public with their hand up that wants to participate in this hearing this morning? And thank you for your comments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it a minute because it can be difficult.
Yeah. We have two other attendees other than the Zeners, and they're phoning in, and that can be a little more challenging. What did you say it was, Darcy? Pound star nine?
Star nine.
What I will say is if you want to participate, I'll remind the people who are listening in that you may submit your comments in writing to the county and the county will forward them to me to consider in this matter. Okay. I'd like to offer an opportunity for the county or the and or the applicant to provide rebuttal to the additional comments and testimony that we receive. Does the county have a comment or a rebuttal?
The county is resting on the record as it is now and as it will become with any new information. All my questions have been answered. How's that? Yeah.
Okay. And Ms. Albrich.
Thank you. Elaine Albrich, for the record. I think it was helpful to hear those questions, and I think at this point we'll respond in writing during the open record period. And if I could, just before we close, or if you have any questions, could we just confirm those dates so make sure I've got it right?
Yes. So open for to submit additional evidence over the next 7 days that
okay.
You may also provide your rebuttal. You may provide, you know, things that you want me to consider during that 7 day period is, mm-hmm. is fine as well. Then a second 7 day period for you each to review anything that's submitted and provide a comment or rebuttal concerning that.
Okay.
Then if you get the last word, unless you want to waive that additional 7-day period.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did you want to waive the final comment period?
Not at this point. We'll wait and see what comes in.
That seems reasonable. Just make it clear.
I will. Thank you.
Right. Any other questions about that?
No, with that, we appreciate your time today, and we will close. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all. I'll look forward to receiving the additional comments that are submitted, additional evidence, the legal argument, rebuttals, and in that last word, if it's still provided. Thank you all.
Okay, and if I'm still able to talk here, as I understand, we've got through 1 week to the 24th, that's next Thursday, a close of business for submittal of new evidence. 1 week to March 3rd for discussion of that new evidence that came in the first period. And then 1 week till March 10th for final argument from the applicant. And you can send that information as is shown on the screen here.
All right. I think we're done.
Thanks.
Yeah, that concludes today's hearing.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.